Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. This hour of Ebling and You being brought to you exclusively by AT&T. Find out what's possible when you can record your shows and play them back in any room with AT&T Total Home DVR. AT&T, rethink possible. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com, the master of assessments. Hello, John. How are you?
Well, very good. Just had a nice chat with Scott, your partner there. So, yeah. Very good day, good all the way around, a little warm, but otherwise, I'm not going to complain.
Well, let's talk a little bit about school starting again. We are at the end of August, about to tear that page off the calendar, and September always means back to school. In terms of parents and preparation, is this a case where a little bit of preparation prevents a lot of problems down the road?
Well, I think you need a lot of preparation along the way, Jack. But I think, yes, I think right now, if you've established a routine, know who the teacher is, know potential problem areas, you've worked things out with your child in terms of going to bed, getting up, then you can have a good beginning. If you've been kind of putting things off, and if things were not good in the spring, then put your helmet on, and it's going to be a tough beginning. And, Jack, I'll tell you what amazes me, how many parents, I know parents are under a lot of pressure. I'm just making an observation. Many parents just put things off. They don't want to deal with it. You know, they've had a summer. They've had an enjoyable summer. Everybody's getting along, and I understand that, and that's a wonderful thing. There's a but. When school starts, you have to be ready to get up. You have to have that breakfast, have to get on that bus or however you get them to school. They have to have their supplies. They have to be ready to go, and that requires the parent to have been ready and preparing and set things up. And a lot of parents, it's hard to do, or they don't want to do it, or they just take the road of least resistance and don't do it. Fortunately, most do. But if you haven't, you still have time.
You still have time, meaning what?
Well, meaning school doesn't start till next week, Jack. So if we could encourage a few people that just are looking out the window at Chucky and Mary and saying, I don't even want to deal with that till next week. You know, I think this is the time to set up some, you know, predictable routines, try to get things going, and even try to get into to bed and up in the morning, that type of thing, even before next Tuesday begins. Not easy to do, but it's something we do have to do.
Performers have rehearsals. Athletic teams have practices. To have excellent performance in school, wouldn't you have to kind of practice that routine before you actually get going?
You know, Jack, that was great. I like the way you put all that together. And yes, it's very true. In a way, getting children up, getting child, however many you may have, getting that all going, it's like a team. There's so many things that have to happen. Someone has to get a good night's sleep. Someone has to wake up. Someone has to get ready. Someone has to have breakfast. Someone has to put the backpack, all the materials together. Person has to be out on the bus or in the car ready to go, has to get to school, has to be prepared and ready to fulfill a day's of obligation in a building, even in kindergarten, for a half a day. All that has to be done in order to have that child ready to go to school. And that's really a big set of things to do, just like getting a football team ready. I didn't thought about that. Good way to put it, Jack, a team effort.
John, in terms of, let's extend that analogy a little further, whether it's someone who is competing in football or another fall sport, or maybe they're just in the marching band, let's say, and they've had preseason practice, and they've been going at this before the first day of school for 5 weeks, what kind of advantage or disadvantage are they at compared to a student who doesn't have those kinds of extracurricular activities and really hasn't thought about school since June?
Well, I think my experience, Jack, which includes many over many years, marching band kids have a lot of discipline. You know, you have to learn an instrument. You have to be, you have to fulfill a lot of things during the year over and above your regular schoolwork. And, yes, they are there. They're getting organized. They're getting set. And it's also a system like a football team, meaning if someone's better than you are, hopefully this is done fairly, they're going to have a little better position, you know, in the band. So, yes, I think there's a big advantage to being in band. There also is if you've been working all summer. Because, you know, to me, Jack, good parenting in this day and age does require kids be doing things during the summer other than just playing. And if we can help them by reading, by having them do activities, get things done, we're preparing them. Otherwise, you lose so many skill sets between, say, you know, June 10th and September 7th, whatever it might be in a given year. So that's another part of preparing. Band, and even if they do it in sport, football, we'll say, but if you've been preparing and getting ready and in a routine, and you've been doing it during the summer too, even if it's a different type of routine, then you're going to be better off than someone who's just had 3 months to just kind of do kind of whatever they want to do. I think that's a bad practice for anybody anytime. Even if you're 80, you want to have some type of routine to keep you going.
John, the classroom, as you know, can be a very competitive environment, in some cases extremely competitive. How much can someone gain? How much can they make up from a perceived deficiency by being aggressive over the summer as opposed to someone who does absolutely nothing?
Well, it's always hard to put an exact measure on things, Jack, but I believe everybody can do better. Everybody has a capacity, regardless of what your ability might be today. And if you work at it and you prepare, then you can get better. I don't care what it is. You're throwing a football, reading, writing, speed, call it whatever you will. So obviously, if it's even best if you have a deficiency and you're working on it. And I think we easily see that in an athlete. We can see somebody who all of a sudden can really throw a football. Like Scott was talking about, the quarterback at DeWitt, okay, just as an example. I mean, people can just kind of get better in a year. You don't even necessarily know who they were, say, a year ago, and all of a sudden you know who they are. I think it's, well, I don't think it's the same thing in reading, in writing, in arithmetic. We'll call them the big three. If you work at something, you can get better. I don't care what your skill set is, you'll get better by working at it. And you're going to find people that are really good at things often are those that work at it all the time because they love it and they enjoy it and they develop that skill set.
Well, you can get better at parenting, too. It's never too late to start that. And I know you do an awful lot of assessments. Do you ever assess parents? Do you ever have them come in, John, and say, I'm obviously doing something wrong. I don't know what it is, but my message isn't getting through. The kids aren't responding. Is that an assessment that you do as well?
Well, Jack, believe it or not, that's a lot of our work. And there are times, for example, I'll have a parent talk to me about all the problems they're having with Chucky, our hypothetical here. And as we're talking about it, it's rather clear the parent doesn't know how to deal with Chucky. So often... their parents that just give in to Chucky. I keep giving in to Chucky, but he keeps wanting more and more and more. And then you find out Chucky's 6 years old. In fact, I'll give you another one. This is from many years ago that I was calling a parent when I was teaching. This goes back to the 60s. And the boy would not get off the phone. And he was a fifth grader. He would not get off the phone when I was talking to the parent. Now, I was a teacher at the time, and I did encourage them to find some help and support, and they did do that, and also I was able to work with his child as a teacher, I might add. I'm not trying to make a hero in this thing, but definitely was able to help him do that. But a good share of working with children is working with parents, too, because normally kids aren't in a vacuum. Someone who's socially maladjusted, there's usually a problem in the home.
Right.
You know, delinquents, call it what you want. There are certain people that do have physical problems, even though it's hard to measure exactly what an emotional impairment is. But most cases that I deal with or other therapists deal with, you're dealing with environments, you're dealing with home, you're dealing with peers,
right.
You're dealing with situation where if the parent stays on top of things, and particularly from day one, if you all of a sudden when the kid is 12, you say, I want to do good parenting. It's not that you can't start working at it,
right.
But the time to do it is day one. And the first day in school,
yeah.
It's best the child come with a sharp pencil, mm-hmm. wide awake, ready to go, and have a successful day. And one other thing too, Jack, a key thing a parent has to do is have the child work at taking responsibility for himself and herself academically,
right.
socially, and all other ways.
John, thinking back 100 years when I was in the classroom and and back a little bit more recent than that as a parent, I always thought that kids wanted rules, that they wanted structure. And I don't know why sometimes parents would say, well, my kid doesn't like that, so be it. And then they would remove anything which would keep people kind of within the lines.
Well, Jack, it makes no sense whatsoever. Everyone needs and wants some type of limit. Even the most innovative person you're going to meet often came from a home where innovation was accepted, but not to be a troublemaker necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But we all need some type of limits. And another one I've never understood is you can have a person that is, we'll take the extreme, the professor at Michigan State, who felt their home was a little too structured. So they produce people that have no structure and are academically very poor, and they wonder why when they've offered all this freedom. And my point always is, you know, there is a middle ground, between grounding someone who didn't get straight A's and telling somebody, well, kind of do whatever you want, and hopefully the spirit will move you to be a good student. So I think a lot of good parenting is cajoling, giving good example,
mm-hmm.
and just setting reasonable standards. I said this to the parent, and I say it to people now. If you're trying to do your best as a parent and your 12-year-old is questioning your parenting ability, indicate once they start having their own children, you won't interfere, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in the long run, it's fascinating how the parent gets to look back and chuckle when their child, who wanted to be Attila the Hun,
right.
has Attila the Hun. How does that sound? So it's often just... Now, you know, you've got to set reasonable standards. You've got to be fair. You have to listen. But ultimately, being a parent by definition means you have to be calling the shots within some type of a democratic environment.
Right. Well, anyone can lead a kid to Toyland. I think real leadership in anything is making someone embrace what they would not normally want to do and accept the fact that, hey, there are sometimes you have to make sacrifices and you see the greater result. John, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it as always and look forward to talking with you Saturday morning.
Always a pleasure, Jack.
We'll be right back and we're going to talk with Doug Pratt, Director of Communication for the Michigan Education Association, get another spin on school starting in 2010. We'll be right back after your sports and weather.